from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today, Governor Jerry Brown leaves for China with a trade delegation in tow. John Myers, political editor of KXTV in Sacramento, is covering the trip. But before heading for the airport, he sat down with us to talk about what's ahead for this trade mission. John, thank you for joining us.
Happy to do it, Rachel.
What does Governor Brown hope to accomplish with this trip?
You know, he's got a lot on the agenda. The governor has everything from meetings with Chinese government officials, and we're told some agreements that may be signed regarding climate change. He's talking to folks about high-speed rail. He's talking about investment, not just how California businesses might want to invest in China, but how China may want to invest in California. So I think it's going to be pretty fascinating, especially when you compare it to other governors who've gone on these international missions. We're kind of more like junkets.
You mentioned previous visits to China, and there have been some. The state of California, though, hasn't had a formal presence in China since the trade offices were closed there 10 years ago. But, you know, China has been investing in California. California has been investing in China. Gosh, it seems like ties have never been closer economically and culturally. Do we really need a trade office?
I think it depends. It certainly depends on your perspective here. But this particular office, first of all, is not being run with state dollars. It's part of a law the governor signed last year that allows the Bay Area Council, a nonprofit consortium of businesses there in the San Francisco Bay Area, to raise money to run the office. And then also, the office is not just called an office of trade. It's called an office of trade and investment. And you mentioned investment, and I think that's an important distinction. I think the governor sees this more than just the traditional, hey, can you help us send a product across the ocean? But it's more a long-running investment opportunity for businesses and for the government. And I do think that the governor has a lot of agreements and business deals that are teed up to be announced on this trip.
Who's paying for this trip?
The trip is being financed by the Bay Area Council and the delegates. Delegates in the business community in California have all paid around $10,000 each. The Bay Area Council is organizing all of this through the kind of traditional office of protocol. That's the way that's being funded for the governor. There's not taxpayer dollars there. And the reporters who are going on the trip, myself included, we're all paying our own freight. But it's a 10-day trip. It goes through Beijing, Shanghai, Guangzhou. I think the governor is really got a very ambitious schedule here, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches this California-China relationship.
As you mentioned, this trade mission is covering a lot of ground in China. Can we expect the governor and his entourage to take a ride on a high-speed rail line?
The governor is going to travel between Beijing and Shanghai on the high-speed rail system that exists there. It takes, I think, about four and a half hours to get from point A to point B. There's some symbolism in him riding the train. We're told he's never ridden a high-speed train before. And he has become this champion of high-speed rail travel for the future of California. And I suspect that there will be some conversations about whether there might be eventual Chinese investment in California's construction project. Because keep in mind, we don't have all the money identified for building that system. Perhaps there are wealthy folks in China, Chinese investors, who would be interested in helping us build high-speed rail here.
Business is always a pleasant topic for conversation in China, but the environment, not so much, even though we know these days that dust from the Gobi Desert ends up in the Owens Valley and that climate change isn't something that one country can deal with all on its lonesome. Is there any hope of substantive talk about environmental issues?
We're told there's going to be, Rachel. We haven't seen the details of the agreements the governor's going to sign. We're told some of them are going to be on climate change issues. It's not by accident that he's visiting the Guangdong province, of which Guangzhou is the largest city, as it's one of the leading provinces in China on climate change issues. You know, it is not by accident that people think about California needs to make an impression about climate change and hope that they get a receptive audience in China. I mean, after all, we have this very aggressive effort here in California to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. If we do all of that and China does nothing, then it's all for naught when you look at the global equation. So I think the governor's going to be talking about climate change quite a lot.
Well, John, have a fabulous trip.
Looking forward to it and looking forward to bringing you back some stories from there.
John Myers, political editor of KXTV in Sacramento, will be filing reports for the California Report this week from China. Powerball tickets go on sale in California for the first time today. KQED's Dan Brecky has the story.
The California Lottery's theory is that everybody loves a jackpot. The bigger, the better.
Powerball is for the people that really want to get after those big jackpots.
Lottery spokesman Alex Traverso points out Powerball features a bigger initial pot, $40 million, and grows much faster than California's two familiar lottery games, Super Lotto Plus and Mega Millions. It also comes with a higher ticket price, $2 a shot for Powerball versus $1 for the other games. Traverso says officials hope Powerball jackpots will drive ticket sales. Experts say big jackpots do drive sales and attract participants, but only to a point. Kevin Clowden is with the Milken Institute, the economics think tank in Santa Monica.
If there isn't something drawing them in, such as a big payout or a novel new game, it is going to flatten out.
For most lotteries, the core group tends to be lower-income players. Clowden says other states have expanded that pool by increasing the share of ticket revenue paid out in prizes and increasing the odds of winning.
And with those higher odds of winning, you're more likely to get middle-class players.
Clowden says he won't be playing Powerball.
I don't buy lottery tickets because I see the odds and they make me cringe.
The next Powerball drawing will be held Wednesday night. For the California Report, I'm Dan Brecky.
Up through sundown this evening, more than 1 million Californians will take a moment to remember the Holocaust. Many Yom HaShoah memorials happened over the weekend, but there are some you can catch today. This morning, for instance, L.A.'s Museum of Tolerance honors a Unitarian minister and his wife who ran rescue and relief programs for Jews and other refugees in Europe during World War II. And finally today, a correction on a story we ran last week on efforts to seize firearms from those not allowed to own them. Here's what we should have said. The Bureau of Firearms has identified nearly 20,000 people in California who have lost their right to possess a gun. Collectively, they own about 39,000 firearms. That's the California Report for Monday, April 8th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. And the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.